I want to take this morning just to praise God for all the Lord has done for us in the month of August. And I've got a couple of scriptures to share with you, to read with you, to start with this morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, these are familiar to you, I understand, but I just feel it's good for us to read the Word together. And in 1 Thessalonians, we read these words of encouragement from the Apostle Paul, where he says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice always, always. In other words, regardless of your circumstances, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then another passage from the Old Testament that we've used several times in recent months here at the church. It's from Psalm 34, and I want to read the first seven verses to introduce our message this morning. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 7, this is David, great king of Israel. And David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. O magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man, David says, speaking of himself, cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And rescues him. Pray with me. Father, we are so grateful this morning that we can gather together and lay aside all of the cares and concerns of life and focus our attention on you and bring to you the glory and the honor and the praise that you and you alone deserve. I pray, Father, that you would speak through me this morning encouraging words for your family of Victory Christian Fellowship, that you would encourage each and every one of us to faithfulness and love toward you because of the faithfulness and love that you have shown to us. Speak to our hearts by your Spirit today. Make your word come alive in all of our lives, and may we live for your glory. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we are less than a month out from emergency brain surgery because of a bleed that apparently was the result of a blood thinner that doctors put me on a couple of months back. As I shared with you last week, that because of the bleed, it was such a significant bleed on the right side of my head that the brain was actually pushed to the left, nearly a half an inch under my skull. I told a friend that my brain had been pushed to the left, and being a Republican, he was greatly concerned. Told him to fear not. The Lord had it under control. And you've read about all of this. If you follow us on Facebook, we've kept everybody up to date. If you don't follow us on Facebook, shame on you. It's the 21st century, church. This is how we communicate these days. And we invite you to join us in the new century. Each week, I can feel healing coming. I can tell there's difference. I can see things that are happening. I was concerned this week about leading praise and worship. I realize that there will come a time when I will step aside from leading praise and worship, but that's going to be on God's terms and not the devil's terms. So I was a little bit concerned about leading praise and worship today, because earlier this week at home, I decided to balance the checkbook. I pulled up the bank statement on the computer screen. I had my checkbook laying in front of it, and I'm constantly looking up at the computer screen, down at the checkbook register, up, down, up, and down. And after about 10 minutes of doing that, my head was swimming, and it took about 2 days for things to steady out again. And I was kind of concerned about leading praise and worship, having to look up at the music stand and down at the auto harp and up and down and up and down. So we came yesterday evening for practice and was able to do it just fine. So just in a matter of 4 or 5 days, again, I can see healing coming. I can feel healing coming to my body, and I thank the Lord for that. Still tire very easily. A lot of that has to do with medications that I'm on. For seizures, I'll talk more about that in just a little bit. I haven't been able to walk a lot, which is my mode of getting exercise to build stamina and those kinds of things. But we got a real good report from the neurosurgeon's office today. Got to see the CAT scans that they've been doing for the last couple of weeks, and can see the progress of the blood being reabsorbed by the body, and the brain shifting back to the right, to ease your mind there. I just thank the Lord for the healing that He's doing there. I do tire more. She did tell me, she did release me to do what I can do. She did say, don't do things that are strenuous, you know, lifting heavy things. Still have not been released to cut grass, praise the Lord. So grateful for that. We'll probably just pay somebody to do that for us the rest of the summer, which is just another 5 or 6 weeks of cutting in our area anyway. But very grateful for the good report that we received from the doctor this past week. And again, I do tire easily, so I can't stand and socialize, you know, and that kind of thing. So if I seem more antisocial than usual, it's not anything personal. I want you to understand that today. It's the healing process that we're going through. And this morning, I told, as I shared with you last week, this morning I just want to just share praise to the Lord this morning, and give God thanks for what He's been doing in the month of August and now into September, in our lives, as He has chosen, because He is sovereign, He has chosen yet again to to save my life, and to spare my life, as He did in 1977. So again in August of 2019. By the way, it was August the 1st of 1977. Don't know what it is about August. If we could cut that month out of the year, that might be a good thing. But we praise the Lord for God's faithfulness to us. And I want to share testimony today of God and what He has done for us over the month of August. I do it for three reasons. First of all, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says that one of the keys to us overcoming our enemy, the Scripture says in Revelation 12, is that we overcome by the word of our testimony. There's something about sharing our testimony and what God has done in our lives that reminds us of how good and how faithful and how awesome He is, and encourages us in our walk with the Lord and in our own faith. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand that. Our faith is not supposed to be based solely on our experience in God. Our faith needs to be based on the Word of God. But when our faith is based on the Word of God, that faith will become experiential, and we'll see God do things in our lives. That, in turn, encourages us to believe the Word of God more and more. So I share the message this morning just to remind myself and encourage myself in my own spiritual journey. I share it also as a way of encouraging you to trust the Lord. The Bible tells us that God's no respecter of persons. God loves us all equally. And what God has done and can do for anybody, He can do for everybody if we will trust the Lord. That's not to promise you anything from God. Again, God is sovereign, and God is going to choose what He is going to do in your life. But I tell you, God is a good, good Father. And then finally this morning, the third reason for sharing the testimony is to get us all to open our spiritual eyes so that we see that God really is working all around us all of the time, whether we realize it or not. Just because we don't see spectacular things, miraculous things, supernatural things happening all the time, that does not mean that God's not working in your life. I promise you He is. I promise you He is every day, just because He loves us. Somebody might say, "Well, why do you praise God for what you've come through, and why do you say God has done things for you over the month of August? What did God do? Where was God in all of this? If God is so good as you say that He is, why did you have this experience to begin with? If God is so good, why didn't He just prevent it from ever happening in the first place?" And I just want to say to you this morning that's really an answer from the perspective of, let me use this word and define it for you so that you understand it properly. That's a question that's asked in ignorance. By ignorance, I don't mean stupidity. By ignorance, I simply mean lacking knowledge. That's what the word ignorance means. When we ask the question, why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? Those are questions we ask lacking knowledge. And this morning, I think maybe we can help answer that at least a little bit. We know the Bible teaches us that this world is a fallen place where evil things happen. And God never promises that everything in your life is going to go just the way you want it to go, and everything is always going to be great. What God promises is that through the bad times, through the difficult times, the Bible says the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. And bad things just happen in this fallen world. But the promise of the Lord is that through those things, He will be there with us. And He will watch over us. And He will rescue us. And He will be a blessing to us. Yeah, we had a bad August. September is here. Thank God for it. Yeah, it is a fallen world. But God is still good all the time. God is alive and well, and He is with us even in this fallen world. And let me just read for you from Psalm 91, just a couple of verses at the end of this psalm this morning, and I'm introducing my testimony to you this morning. In Psalm 91, the last three verses, the verses tell us here about the faithfulness of the Lord to those that belong to Him. The psalmist, God is speaking actually first person through the psalmist. And he says, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. God is a good God. And God is always with us, whether we realize it or not. And God is a God who can do miracles. Brother T.R. King brought a wonderful message a few weeks ago about the fact that God can do miracles if a miracle is something that is needed and that he chooses to do. But he chooses rather that we walk with him in faithful communion so that we walk in his blessing in our lives. And I say that to say again that just because we don't see spectacular and supernatural things happening in our lives, that does not mean that God's not with us, that God's not doing things for us, God's not rescuing us. I'll give you an example. Say for example that Jim does a kindness for Ed. And we would look at that and we would see in the natural, we would say, well, Jim did something for Ed. And that's true and that's good. But if we look a little deeper, what we're going to see is God has prompted Jimmy to do something for Ed. So that the real source of the goodness, the real source of the kindness and the blessing is not Jimmy, but God. And Jimmy is just the instrument that God uses to bless Ed. God is with us all the time. And God works through people all the time to bring blessing into our lives. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel came into Israel after wandering in the wilderness, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses speaks to the children of Israel and he says, now guys, you're coming into a land that flows with milk and honey. And you're going to live in houses you did not build. And you're going to eat from farms and vineyards that you didn't plant. And you're going to be blessed by God for generations if you'll just continue to walk with the Lord. And then Moses says this. He says, when you get into that land and you experience these blessings, he says, don't forget who the source of the blessings really is. He says, don't forget that it's God who has given you all of these blessings and all of these things. He says, the natural inclination is to begin to think that you have provided all of these good things for yourself, and you forget that it's really God who did these things for you. Hundreds of years later, the great King David would write these words in one of the most beautiful prayers in the Bible in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I encourage you to turn to this one. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 10. The background is David had wanted to build a tabernacle for a temple for God in Jerusalem. And God said, no, it's not my plan for you to build the temple. It's my plan for your son to build the temple. But he says, David, I'll let you receive the offering to pay for the temple that your son's going to build. So he goes to the people of Israel and he encourages them to give so that they will have what they need to build the temple. And then he prays this blessing over the gifts that have been given. I want you to hear this. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Verse 12, both riches and honor come from you. And you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might. And it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, O God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you and from your hand, David says, we have given you. I want you to see that David recognizes that centuries later, still everything Israel has been given to Israel by God. They didn't produce the wealth that they had. David didn't produce the power that he had. David had united the nation of Israel and made it a powerful nation in his day. But he recognizes it was ultimately God that did all of these things on their behalf. He gave them the wisdom, the knowledge, the strength, the ability, all of these things to accomplish what they accomplished. It looked like it was them, but it was really God. I'm saying to you today, what looks like was us was really God. In James chapter 1, verse 17, James tells us, every good and perfect gift comes down to us from the Father of lights. It all comes from God. Everything that we have, it's all the blessing from the Lord. And I've got many testimonies I could share with you of the way God has blessed and provided for this church, for our home and our family over the years. Listen, just in the last couple of weeks, the kindnesses that so many of you have shown to us in cards and calls and visits and prayers and food and in all of the things that you've done for us, we recognize that God is the one who prompted you to do those things for us. And while it was a great gift from you to us that we appreciate so much for what you've done for us, and we thank you for what you've done, we praise God for what you've done. And we give God the glory for it. So many scriptures that I could share along those lines. The Good Samaritan, because I need to get to my testimony. The story of the Good Samaritan. Here's a Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. And yet a Jew is beaten half to death on the road to Jericho, and a Samaritan comes along, sees him in that condition, and stops to help him out and see to his good. We put it in this context today. It's like a Republican stopping to help a Democrat. You wouldn't think that'd be hardly possible in our day and time. But see, when God moves on somebody's life, anything can happen. Anything can happen. See? And it's not the person. Thank God for the person's willingness to be obedient to the Lord. But it's ultimately God who deserves the credit and the praise and the glory for the kindness that was done. And I just say to you today that if we would open our spiritual eyes, we would see the activity of God all around us, all of the time, as God is looking out for us to rescue us, to bless us, to provide for us, and to meet the needs of our lives. Where was God in August when there's a bleed going on in my brain that I'm not aware of? Where was God? That's the easiest question in the world to answer. God was everywhere. Everywhere. God was with us at Virginia Beach, holding me. In the palm of his hand, though it's likely the bleed was going on for some time. Why did God let that happen? That's the hardest question in the world to answer. I don't know. I do know that God is sovereign and he's good and he loves us all. Maybe one day in eternity, I'll go to God and ask him, why? If I do, I'll look you up. We can go together. Why? I don't know why. All I know is that he did take care of me. And that he is good. A good, good father. And he's worthy of our praise. And the peace that comes from knowing that God has you and God has your circumstances is just beyond comprehension. The Bible talks about, Paul talks about the peace that passes understanding. In the modern vernacular, I call it the peace that blows your mind. The peace that blows your mind. Jim was diagnosed a couple of months ago with lymphoma, and I've heard him say a couple of times since that diagnosis, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm just going to trust God. And he lives at peace because he knows God has him. No matter what, God has him. God's got this. Where was God? God was in the doctors that treated me, that diagnosed the issue, that found the problem, that knew how to fix it. Remember those guys that went into Israel and God said, Don't think it's you that's providing all these things. I'm giving you the power to make wealth. Today, brother and sister, doctors can do the things that they do because God has given them the wisdom, because God has given them the knowledge, because God has given them the technology, because God has given them the ability. Everything that they have to do what they need to do has come to them from God. And you know what's truly amazing? They don't even have to believe in God for God to use them to do these things. God is still sovereign. He is the creator of us all. And he reserves the right to do with any of us whatever he chooses to. I thank God for my doctor. In fact, I pray for my doctors. Anytime I ever go to a doctor, I pray for the doctor before I go. I say, God, I got a problem. And I'm praying for you to use my doctor to help me find a solution to this problem. I hear people from time to time, they'll go to the doctor, and they'll come back and they'll tell me what the doctor said and they'll say, just not sure I want to do that. And my first thought is, if you're not going to do what the doctor said to do, why you go to the doctor to begin with? Pray for your doctor. Pray for your doctor. We've got, within Christianity, we've got fringe group of people that think going to a doctor is a sign of a lack of faith. That somehow if we are Christians, we shouldn't have to go to doctors, or we shouldn't believe in doctors, we should believe and go to God and these things, and somehow doctors have become bad. And that's just so... Thank you. I was going to say squirrely, but I guess all of those things probably apply. There's a verse of Scripture at the end of the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4. The writer of the third gospel in the book of Acts, his name is Luke. He was a doctor. He was a doctor. Traveled with the Apostle Paul in his later missionary journeys. And as Paul is sending greetings to the church at Colossae, he mentions Luke and he calls him and understand this is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and he calls Luke the beloved physician. Sounds like to me God loves doctors too. And Luke didn't feel like he needed to stop being a doctor because he had become a Christian. He kept serving as a doctor, even though he was a Christian, because he knew God could use him in that capacity to be a blessing to a lot of people. I praise God for doctors. I give him the glory for what they are able to do, because I believe he has given them the wisdom, the knowledge, the ability to do all the things that they do. Where was God in August? God came to us in many, many nurses who were so kind to us and caring and put us at ease with their knowledge of what we needed. The second morning after the surgery, had surgery on August the 13th. That was a Tuesday. The second morning, Thursday morning, about 4:30 in the morning, because of the bleed, surgery, trauma, the brain shift, all of the things that were going on, my brain began to misfire. We called it a seizure. And at 4:30 in the morning, I'd never had a seizure before. That's why the doctors are very confident that all that was a result of the bleed and will all clear up and never be a problem again. They're very confident of that. But the first seizure started when I was asleep. And yet I was completely aware of what was going on. I had like four or five seizures once every hour or so. First one was about 30 seconds long. They got progressively shorter. The last one was just a few seconds, and they were pretty much over. But actually, the first seizure started while I was asleep. And I was dreaming that I had a soreness in my jaw, my right jaw, because of the incision on the right side to drain the blood. And I was dreaming about that soreness on the right side. And in the dream, I could tell that for some reason, my face was becoming distorted. And I woke up having that sensation going on, having never had a seizure before, yet somehow instinctively I knew I was having a seizure and I could not control my body. They tell me it was a pretty violent seizure for about 30 seconds. I was completely aware. My initial reaction as I was waking up was, you're not going to be able to breathe, you're going to suffocate, you're going to die. But in those moments, I heard Becky say, Jesus. And I immediately knew I was breathing, even though I was going through the seizure. I knew it was going to end soon. I knew I was going to be all right. And I have no question that the Holy Spirit spoke those things to my heart, and the peace of God came over my life and over my body. And I felt no fear and no worry after that. Had several more seizures after that, each one progressively shorter. I could feel them coming on. I knew when they were going to happen. I could feel them coming on, aware through all of them. The nurses, they came running every time. And the peace of the Lord with those young men and women, knowing that there were people there who knew what needed to be done. I tell you, God came to me in those young people, and I thank God for those nurses. And I give Him the glory for what He did through them in that season in our lives. There's some nurses and doctors here today. Let me just say to you, don't ever take lightly what you do, because God is using you to be a tremendous blessing in somebody else's life. So we praise God today. The scripture says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. And we testify today of the goodness of the Lord to us. He is a good, good Father. I do it to remind myself of the goodness of God toward my life. I testify and praise God today to encourage you to know that God is a good, good Father. That God is here for all of us. He is no respecter of persons. And I do it for us today to encourage all of us. Guys, let's open our spiritual eyes. Let's pay attention spiritually to what's going on around us, even in this natural world. Because so much of what is happening in this natural world is being done for us at the inspiration of the Spirit of God Himself. And God is caring for us. And God is providing for us. And God is delivering us and rescuing us, because God loves us. If we will open our spiritual eyes, we will see the God who is ever present, always active, not always supernatural, but always God, doing what God can do to meet our needs, to bless us, and to rescue us as His children. Would you pray with me? And Father, we do give You praise today. Becky and I are so grateful for what You have done in our life yet again to take care of us even before we knew there was a problem, to be there for us, to meet our needs, to provide for us just the right people at just the right time, to do just the right thing, that your will can continue being done in our lives. In this earth for now, even as it is in heaven. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for never leaving us or forsaking us. Thank you for being faithful to us. I praise you for all that you've done. And I praise you for all that you're going to do. All that you're going to continue to do through us for the glory of your Son in this earth. And we covenant with you, God. And we say to you today that as long as you give us breath, we will give you praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now look at me. I mentioned Jim a little while ago, and we have committed to praying for Jim as he goes through all of these treatments for the lymphoma and standing with him in faith for healing of this cancer. And we're trusting God for that. And we believe that's going to happen. As I have shared with you before, I had thought about shaving my head in solidarity with Jim to show unity with Jim as he goes through this. And then all of this happened and most of my head was shaved. I still have a little incision that hasn't quite healed up yet. I'm waiting for it to completely heal up so that I can go ahead and shave my head and stand with Jim. But Jim is halfway through his treatments now. And if I don't hurry up and get healed, he's going to have hair before I can lose mine to show support for him. But we are going to continue to support Jim in prayer and stand with him week after week, day after day, service after service, and continue to trust the Lord to bring complete healing to Jim. And so this morning, I want to close by us joining together in prayer for Jim and for his healing of lymphoma. So if you would please pray with me as I pray for Jim today. Father, we are so grateful today for your goodness and kindness to all of us. No, Lord, we don't understand things that we go through. There are things that you have given to us to understand. There are some things that are just yours. They are just yours. Father, you have given us to understand that healing is your will. And your word tells us that Jesus Christ has died to deliver us from sin, from death, but also from disease. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of the cross. And we trust that that healing power is being applied to Jimmy's life today. We thank you for the recovery that he has experienced, for the health that is coming back to his body. We thank you that he's gone through half of his treatments now, and we thank you that he suffers very little, if any, side effects at all of the chemo that he's going through. Except for that hair. We continue to pray for his healing and stand with him for it to be made complete for your glory, for his good, but for your glory, Father. We make no mistake. God, this is about you. This is about glorifying and praising you. So we thank you, Father, for making Jim completely well. And we give you praise in advance for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.
God, I thank you so much. My pastor's back. You're a God of love. You're a God of grace. You're a God of mercy. You're a God of healing.
Thank you, Lord.
But the devil had designed for destruction. Lord, you have turned it into victory.
Thank you, God.
And we give you the glory for it.
Amen.
I thank you, Lord, that day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, Ken is getting better and better. Such improvement, oh God. I thank you, Father, there's no permanent damage whatsoever.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you for the clarity of mind that he has, for the continued ability to preach your word.
Thank you, Father.
For the ability, Father, to teach us in such a way that we can understand it and apply it and take it into the world and tell others about Jesus, that we too, all of us in this room, we have a testimony.
Thank you, Father.
Help us, Father, to share that testimony at every opportunity we have.
Yes, Lord.
We give you the glory for it. We give you the thanks for it. We give you the praise for it. And we thank you that Ken is totally and completely healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Would you stand with us as we bring our service to a close this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer once again as we close. And let me just say this as we're praying to close our service today. It is our desire, it is our heart, it is our joy to share Jesus and to tell people about Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior of the world. He is the only way into heaven. And yet he is for every man, every woman, and wants all of us to be saved. If you don't know the Lord Jesus in a personal way, it would be our desire and our joy to come to speak to you about the things of the Lord and to answer any questions you might have about Jesus and Christianity and salvation and eternal life. If you just let us know you'd like to talk with us, we'd be more than happy to come to your home, meet you at the church, wherever is convenient and most comfortable for you. We'll come to talk to you and share Jesus with you. As always, if you have anything else that you need prayer about in your life, we are just a text, a phone call, an email away. And we'd be happy to come to pray with you about anything going on in your life and trust God together with you for victory in every area of your life. Let us know how we can minister personally to you to help you to find God's best in your life. We thank you so much for being with us for this service today. We hope to see you again next week as we continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's sing together as we're dismissed. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will say, in your presence, day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great week. Go out and make it a great week in communion with the Lord.